Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Think about this. I mean, second chances in life can come from, well, the most difficult situations. Joy Tendai Kangeri is a woman who has made a remarkable journey, and she is here in the studio to tell us all about it. Joy Tendai, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer, and good morning to you and to your listeners, and really good to be here on a Friday morning.
It's great to have you. I said to you off air, I said, Joy Tendai, all you have to do is talk about yourself. And you said, but that's the most difficult part. It can be, can't it? But you have an incredible story.
Just living my life the best way that I can. Being me and not letting, suppose, adversity bring me down.
Let's talk about 2013 for a second. Can you explain in your own words just the terrible situation you were in back then and how it led to a new beginning for you?
In 2013, I was expecting my third child, my son, after being, you know, worked so hard, trying to establish myself as a migrant. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do move to a new country, you have to do also, you know, really start from start afresh. And my journey, which included, you know, even working in food retail and a lot of things during the Celtic Tiger. But I was at a stage where I had a good job, and I had my two children, and my family was growing, and we're all excited about our new addition. And unfortunately, we had complications, and which led to my son passing away, and me having a near-death experience, which included total organ failure. So,
I'm sorry to take you back there. It must be very difficult to speak about. Even, you know, it never leaves you. You couldn't work. Is that right? You were unable to work after that. And let's talk about how you went back to education.
For me, for those that have been following my story and just coming back, I think this is a full circle after during my studies being on the Shona Rook Show and really manifesting to the universe what I wanted to do. But this manifestation started when I was six, when I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. Life happened. I couldn't do that with the death of my father, but I still had that wish.
So desire.
That desire to be that person that I wanted to be, and not to prove to anyone that had doubted me, but to really prove to myself that I was able and capable of doing what I said I could do. So for people go through grief in a different way. And for me, education was my comfort. It was a way of fulfilling.
Did it save you, would you say, education?
It did, especially the fact that I didn't have family support in Ireland. I found support within my peers and within the institution that I went to study, which was very supportive. So without that, I would have been lost.
How do you make that dream a reality? How did you go about it?
Well, starting from, I suppose, when I was studying, taking the subjects that I wanted would lead me, I couldn't study law in Zimbabwe, as I said, because of my family's circumstances changing. But also it makes me wonder, you know, whether I was meant to, you know, this was the place I was supposed to be and fulfill my dreams. And so that journey of keeping, you know, the hope, and people have vision boards. And sometimes when I did say to people what I wanted to be, I was sometimes laughed at. I was told it was impossible. Even when I arrived in Ireland and I said, look, I'm doing this, but the end game for me is that I'd want to practice law, and be, you know, I got remarks like, how can a person from Zimbabwe come and practice law in Ireland? You know, that was something that people didn't see, but I knew it. You know, it was deep in my heart. It was something I knew that even it took me, if I achieved the dream, even when I was 90, it was going to happen.
Wow.
Somehow I was going to work towards it.
Did you ever doubt yourself? Because it's not an easy thing to do. Like law, it's a tricky one. It takes a lot of work.
Many times there was a lot of tears, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of, I suppose this is where I say that do not do, when I always talk to young people I mentor, do not do things to disprove people. Do things to prove yourself, because people will always tell you you can't do it.
Yeah.
And yes, my vision, my hope was rained upon many times.
Why did you want to be a lawyer? Why law?
Why? Well, I'd say one of my icons has been, throughout my life, has been Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, I'm of an age that I would have had experience of what apartheid was in South Africa, and how, not just in terms of black people, people of African descent, but anyone that is from a disadvantaged socioeconomic background usually do not get the representation or access to justice that they usually should. And I just felt that that had been, you know, from a young age, I would, you know, go, if people got in trouble in school, I would go and, you know, advocate on behalf of them. And I felt it's something that I can always help people that cannot express themselves and be an advocate for those who are termed voiceless. They're not voiceless, but within the whole spectrum
system
they're termed
they
as voiceless.
It was a long road, but you are now a lawyer. How does that feel?
To be honest, Jennifer, I'm still coming to terms with it. I wake up every morning and just try and believe that this is where I am at.
Mm.
I look in the mirror, really. I look in the mirror and say, 6-year-old, we did it.
You mentioned it earlier there briefly when you were on the Sean O'Rourke. Yeah, you were on Radio 1 and you kind of manifested this, because even back then, when you were starting out on this road, I believe you were promised tickets to the toy show if you ever made it. Is that correct?
I actually met Ryan on my way in then this morning.
Did you say to him, here, you owe me 2 tickets to the toy show?
I did mention to him. It was, and one thing that really inspires me is that, and he repeated this morning, and thanks, Ryan, because these are the things that really help me out. He did tell me on the day, because he was asking me why I was here, and I was saying, look, I'm still studying in UCD and I have this dream, and he was like, you're going to do it. And this morning he said he didn't have a shadow of doubt that I would be able to do it.
And you did it. And you're doing it. You're doing it as we speak. Let's talk about this. Why is it important to realise that direct provision is not the only way migrants come to Ireland?
And thank you so much for asking that question, because I think in the whole scheme or the vision or people, how they perceive people of African descent coming to Ireland, has always been through the system of, you know, seeking international protection. But to say, like, my own journey, I was able to come here on a work permit and start working. And it's just taking those negative stereotypes that we all have different migratory patterns to come to different countries, in the same way as the Irish people have gone all over the world.
Oh, listen, we can't be judgmental. We have no right to be judgmental with migrants. We are a nation of them. How old are your kids?
My son is 15 and my daughter is 12.
Wow, that tricky age. That preteen and teenage years, I'm not looking forward to that stage, let me tell you. Do you feel that your children will be part of a more inclusive society? Do you feel that? Are you confident about that?
Well, I always say charity begins at home. And what I've done with my children is that I have told them the realities of the world. And I always advocate and share with parents that they should, you know, the talk, we've all heard about the talk, you know, during all the events that have happened in 2019. And the sooner that we come and really show children that there is inequalities in the world and that there is a possibility that because of the different biases, you might be treated differently, it's not a shock. And for those that might be at the end that can do that, then they know that they have to treat other people equally. So I believe if, you know, with the conversations that are being had and with young people having access to social media and the internet, that I believe, strongly believe that we're at a stage where, yes, there will be in an inclusive society, but mindsets still have to change. Parents have to have conversations, and we really have to keep on doing that soul search, that we shouldn't look at it. We shouldn't be looking for our differences, but looking for celebrating our similarities. And that's what leads to inclusive societies.
Absolutely. And let those positive voices be heard and be louder.
Absolutely.
Than the negative ones. And speaking of which, you're writing articles for the Irish Indo these days. Look at you. Look at you get the time, Mrs. This is amazing. How important is a platform like that to you? I mean, that's incredible. Did you ever think when you were doing that little job like years and years ago that you'd be writing for, you're a lawyer, you'd be writing for the Irish Independent? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I feel that it's a positive sign to see that we're now a multicultural island, and that the different people have different ideas or perceptions about their life experiences, and these should be shared. As you said, the positive, we shouldn't be always concentrating on the negative in life. We should celebrate the positive aspects of being human and sharing this beautiful island of Ireland.
Your 15-year-old and your 12-year-old, what do they aspire to be? Do they go on? Do they want to be? I'd love if you said they want to be TikTokers or something like that, and they didn't. Or do they want to be lawyers? Or what? What's the chat like in your house?
The chat in my house is I've always always promote that they be what they want to be. My son is very good in with figures. He wants to go into banking.
Wow.
I'm sure maybe something might come up and you'll suddenly change. My daughter is she's artistic, so she likes drawing and very aware of the world. So
good on her.
I think anything that is really in the art, that design, creativity and stuff, they can be whatever they want to be.
Well, listen, it sounds like you're doing a phenomenal job at home and outside as well. Joy Tendai Kangeri, thank you so much for joining me, because you are a busy lady, but your story is one of hope and a lot of hard work, let's just say. There's no luck in there. It's purely hard work. You're incredible. It is really something to celebrate, and thank you for coming in. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.